The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's great to have you here. A lot of interesting stories making the rounds, especially as Big Ten Media Days is approaching. There was a story out that I want our next guest, Dan Murphy, to explain about Penn State players discussing improved benefits with the Big Ten commissioner, and you know what is going on here. What does it mean? There's been some conversation about unionization. I know this is not the first time we've heard this. During COVID, there was a lot of unhappy players from all over. So Dan Murphy joining us. He's been covering the story. Dan, thanks for the time. If you read this quickly, it sounds like potentially this could really be a big deal. I don't really know what it is, but since you're reporting it, we're really pretty eager to hear your thoughts. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul. Great to hear you. And then, to be clear, there was some confusion late last week when this came to light. No one is unionizing at this point. I don't know of any college athletes that are trying to form a union right now, but Penn State players, specifically their quarterback, Sean Clifford, this summer started trying to organize a little bit and find a way to ask the conference for more benefits for players. And that's where this started. They were doing that with a group called the College Football Players Association. It's about a year-old group that has been trying to organize players to do very similar things and serve as sort of the same purpose that a players' union might serve in professional sports, collectively bargaining with the league, asking them to do better by the players. But right now, Clifford and company think that they can do that by working directly with the Big Ten. And they've started having conversations with Kevin Warren and with other people in the league office about how the league can do more for players. And there's just a question now is how much they're willing to actually compromise or how much they're willing to give to players at this point.
So as best you can tell from people with whom you visited with, I mean, I know you outlined it briefly, but what are they really looking for, and how widespread do you think what they are talking about could it get to other quadrants of the country?
So when they first put together this idea, Sean Clifford and the leader of the College Football Players Association, a guy named Jason Stahl, they had three main things they wanted to ask for. They wanted an independent representative on every campus in the Big Ten who would sort of look out for the players' best interest when medical decisions came up or if players were getting overworked past the time limits that they're supposed to be. They wanted improved medical care for post-career. You have a standardized version where everybody in the conference has X number of years of medical coverage after they finish playing. And then the last thing that they wanted to talk about was revenue sharing. And that's the big one that always comes up in these conversations is, will players ever get a direct financial slice of all the money that these conferences are making? And I think the first two of those pegs, the Big Ten is probably interested or willing at least to have a discussion about how they can do a little bit more on that front. I think the revenue sharing is still the one that's the diamond in the sky that's a little bit further down the path for most people. And you know, the question that comes up with this is, if you're asking someone who's in a position of power to give you more, what leverage or what ultimatum are you going to give them in order to force them to come to the table and negotiate? And right now, that's still an open-ended question for what's going to happen here in the Big Ten and whether or not this spreads beyond the conference and other players from other leagues want to try to jump in and do something similar.
So Dan, we're talking about here a commissioner in Kevin Warren who, you know, understands all this. You know, for whatever mistakes he may have made early on, he's getting a lot of praise these days. What could ultimately happen here this week? And is there any give on maybe spending a little more time on this subject?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't expect any conclusions at all to come of this week, but I think you're going to hear Warren tomorrow at Big Ten Media Days talk about starting some type of advisory committee where the Big Ten is willing to talk to players now in greater detail about some of these things that they want to see and willing to have that conversation in a way that they haven't had a conversation before. As you said, Warren is a forward-thinking guy. He's the father of a college football player, which gives him a slightly different perspective on some of this stuff than other people that might have been in that chair in the past or that run different leagues. And so I think he sees that, and he's been receptive. So initially, when this idea was hatched with Clifford and the College Football Players Association, their idea was to tell the Big Ten, hey, come to the table or else we are going to form a union or we're going to think about forming a union. And right away, Warren and others of the Big Ten were at least initially receptive to this idea of going further and thinking about how they could help players. And part of that really is, I think, seeing this is inevitable, right? Some change, something is going to improve for players down the line as the business gets bigger and bigger and players get a larger and larger voice. And right now, the Big Ten and Kevin Warren are in a spot where they can negotiate from a position of power. And maybe they've learned their lesson after 10 years of sort of sitting and watching NIL come as this slow-moving train and doing nothing about it. And now they don't have much control over that realm of their business at all. Maybe this is an opportunity for a forward-thinking conference to start saying, hey, let's get involved in these compromises and these negotiations, if you want to call it that, at this point, so that we have a little bit more control and we don't lose this thing when inevitably the next step comes as college athletics becomes more and more professionalized.
Dan, let's talk a little bit about what to expect from Kevin Warren at these meetings. I'm not in a good position to be objective because I've just been in that fishbowl at the SEC media days, and it's really kind of hard to see outside when you're swimming around in there. But Warren's got a lot on his plate. He certainly ruffled many feathers in the CFP a year ago. That some of that is forgotten. The COVID thing was 2 years ago, but the SC-UCLA entrance a month ago seems to have put him back on the fast track. What do you think we're going to hear from him tomorrow?
Well, I think we'll certainly hear them celebrate adding those two Los Angeles schools and what kind of value that can bring to the conference. And of course, the big question that I think he's going to be asked, and I'm sure we'll address in some way, is this looming media rights deal that's reportedly going to be worth north of $1 billion for the league, which is a big part of why they're bringing people in from Los Angeles to expand their media rights value there. And which ties us back to our original subject, right? Is if you're going to be making that much more money and these numbers get more and more obscene with every media contract, at what point do you say, yes, we need to set some of this aside for the players? Otherwise, when we are sued in court, when this does come in front of politicians or judges, we're going to have a harder case to make that this is an after-school activity. So we ought to be a little bit more forward-thinking in terms of taking care of that and making those compromises ahead of time. So I'll be very interested to hear what Kevin Warren has to say about that in Indianapolis. And obviously, as you said, he's got a lot of big topics on his plate coming up this week.
And one of them is going to be Notre Dame. Since all this started blowing up, Notre Dame has been at the center of the storm. What do you expect to hear about that? And really, behind the scenes, what are you sensing on that issue?
It doesn't seem that after the two Los Angeles schools moved, the general feel of things right now seems to be that no one else is in a huge hurry, and certainly Notre Dame isn't in a huge hurry. We talked about negotiating from a position of power, and right now Notre Dame is probably the one bell of the ball that is yet to be picked up by one of these major conferences and is in a position to ask for more, both of their own media network partners to stay independent, or if they are going to join a conference, they're in a good position to try to do so. It doesn't seem like they're in a rush right now. I think we had a couple of big bombshells earlier this summer. It doesn't seem like another one is inevitable. Of course, who knows, that could change in a matter of minutes with the way some of this comes to light. But yeah, I don't know that a lot is happening there. And Warren will probably be asked about it. And I would imagine he won't have anything too specific to say other than, of course, any good school they would consider thinking about.
Yeah, well, he's got a law degree from there, so he is familiar with the layout of the school. Dan, thank you. As always, fascinating conversation. We'll talk to you soon. Dan Murphy joining us on Big Ten Media Days and some of the issues that could arise there. And we are coming back with more of your phone calls right now.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, if you haven't seen Year of the Dog, you're in for a lot of fun, especially if you're a dog. Coming up next. But will that be better entertainment, however, than our next caller? Jim is up next.
How are you, Paul? It's an honor to talk to you. It's a great honor. It really is. I'm so thrilled that I got on the show. Been trying for about 5 years now, and I really am honored to talk to you. You're a great host. You're a great guy. Got a great show, Paul. I don't know who made it great, but you got a great show. I know Alyssa Lane helped the show. Paul, here's what I want to say, though. I heard the show today, and here's my recipe for a great last hour. I actually love to hear John from Louisville. I like him. He's interesting. I'd like to meet his daughter. Squirrel is great. Hope to hear from Squirrel. Jeff from Ohio, I hope to hear from him. That's a great recipe. And there's some more. I already heard Daryl. I like Daryl. He's good. Talks a little fast. Got a new phone, but Daryl's great. But the show can be stepped up a little bit, you know, and that's what I'm trying to do. And that's what I'm on salary to do, as you well know.
Well, Jim, I can't thank you enough. And if I could just, guys, I want to talk to Jim off the air for just 1 second. Jim,
go ahead.
I thought you read that just like we sent it to you.
You exactly. Did I not do well?
That was the best read I've heard.
Paul, I'm a Pro Bowl man. You know that.
I mean, are you can't be reading this off a teleprompter, can you?
No, I memorized it. I memorized it. And you know, I'm like Elvis on songs. I memorized.
I have not seen that new Elvis movie yet. Have you? I'm curious.
I don't want to see it. It's trash,
okay.
Paul.
Okay.
But Hanks can't do nothing like the real guy. It's just. I mean, I'm really. You know me. I'm an Elvis fan. That show is trash. I heard it's going in the dumper.
It was like a comet. I mean, it opened and then I haven't heard another word, which means it's probably already closed.
And when I read something the other day about one of the female stars that is in trouble with something. She's a mess, and she's a. I think it's horrible. I have no interest in watching crap.
Well, Jim, it's Hollywood. I mean, nobody's sane out there.
Hollyweird, Paul. Hollyweird.
So true. It's not. It's
but not. What about? I'm looking forward to hearing about the get together that Jeff wants to get together and all the people get together and. I guess you'll have it. Where will you have that, Paul?
Well, I tell you what, Jim. That's news to me. I haven't gotten the memo on that yet. You know, when it comes to reaching for the wallet, this company might be a little slow on that.
Yeah, I know, Paul. Believe me, I know.
But
you're slow, Paul. You're slow at reading.
So are you? I was reading a Hollywood Reporter or Variety the other day. I can't remember which one it was, and there was speculation that you were hiring a new agent.
No, yeah, I know. But I, as I chatted with you over the weekend, we both realized I'm my best agent. I am, and I could be a good agent for others if they allow me.
You know, Jim, I think we've had this all wrong. You know, agents make 15, you know, they're better clients, not the riffraff, but the better clients, the agents get 15% out of every paycheck. Think about that. You could find a new revenue source here.
I ask you, Paul, I ask you, would you rather have anybody but me as your agent?
Jim, I've had very few agents in my career, but I would dump the guy right now for you. I promise you.
Just like you dumped Obama for my phone calls back 6 years, 7 years ago when you wrote the book.
You know, that quote still lives. That book is, it came out in 40.
It's alive.
That book will be nine years old next week, and that quote remains one of the all-timers.
And it's all over the world. It went around the world.
Obama has not spoken to me since that came out.
That's a blessing for you. I'm telling you, that's a blessing.
Okay, well, even though I deal with his family members when I need to get through. Hey, I talked to you since my? I don't think I've even said this. I was in D.C. the other day, and I happened to see the former Auburn coach up there.
Wait a minute now, which one is that?
Who's now your United States Senator from Alabama?
Oh, Tommy, my picture. He sent me a picture, and I didn't even ask for it.
Did he really?
Tommy T. Yeah, I told you. He sent me an autographed picture. I said, what in the world is this? He said, here, Jim. I asked for it on your show. Jim, I didn't ask for it. I don't even know where it is, Paul.
We had the best conversation. I mean, talking to him as a United States senator is so different than when he was.
Did the senator have anything to say about me anyway, positively, negative, whatever?
But Jim, I was going to share that with you, but the NSC has classified that conversation.
Well, I know I'll get it off air somewhere.
Oh, you'll get it. But we had a blast. It was really fun.
You know, I always liked him. I didn't like his arrogance. He really was arrogant as an Auburn coach. And, of course, I was big Alabama.
Well, he is not as arrogant as a senator. He's much he's humble.
No. Yeah, and I saw something he posted the other day that I can't remember what it was, but it was trying to get everybody together for Trump and the rest of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's we did talk about the former president. I will tell you that.
Well, that's good. I know he remembers Shane.
Oh, I think Tuberville is on the Senate floor listening to your phone calls. I kid you not. I mean, he used to talk about you all the time.
I tell you what, I'm serious about this. It would be great. Do you think it's possible for you to get him back on the show?
Yes. He's got something going on in a couple of weeks that we're going to try to bring him on that is germane to what we talk about here every day.
Well, that would be one of the rare guests that I would like to listen to. As you well know, I'm not favorite with these guests, but I would love to hear from Coach Tommy T. Tuberville.
But I will tell you, though, after hanging around there for 2 days, what a bunch of clowns live in that city.
I mean, you know that. You know that. You know, and clown's not the right word, but that'll do for now.
That's a benevolent phrase I just decided.
But what do you think we can get some good calls out of John from Louisville? Are they on hold right now? Any of them on hold?
You know, I don't know what happened to John. He must be he could be on vacation. It is that time of the year where people disappear.
Yeah, it could be. Or maybe he just got lost during the 2 week break when everybody else just about got lost when the show got lost. I can tell you that. Of course, I've told you that. But Alyssa Lang did a tremendous job. I'm not just pumping her up for nothing. She really was good. That really was good.
Well, I told her that we had talked to her. I saw her in Atlanta a couple of times, and every time we talked about you. So she.
That's great. I didn't. I'm just saying. You know, I don't say that for me to get any glory. I'm telling you, I liked her a lot. She was good.
Well, she's why, and I'm sure I'll be insulting somebody else, but
go ahead and say it. I think I know what you're going to say.
Well,
go ahead.
Because she's not trying to do anything other than be here.
That's exactly, we're on the same page, Paul. Yeah. I said she's not pious, pompous. She's not pretentious. She's not trying to get self-glory. She's just trying to do a good show with a good personality that she has. And she's a natural at talk radio as a host.
She is. It's not. You know, she doesn't have to mention her name every 30 seconds just to make sure
exactly
you missed it the first.
The
30
only
times.
One thing, and I thought of it, and I shouldn't say it, but I'm gonna say it anyway. The one thing, and I brought it up the day I talked to her. I said, and somebody else brought, when she gets her girlfriends on there, it gets a little bit, you know, and that's all I need to say. But I told her, and she said, okay, I'll try to watch that. Well, and I'm sure she will.
I'm sure she'll be back because, you know, I got this new 3-day schedule, Jim. That's part of the new deal.
Well, it's been great talking to you, Paul. I can't tell you how much it means to me.
I am going to remember this phone call at some point in the near future. I think the audience knows what I'm talking about.
Give your great doctor wife my condolences. Give her my best.
She's had to suffer way too long. She's a saint. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Nick is up next in Florida. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Paul. Speaking of Elvis, I think his daily intake of pharmaceuticals pales in comparison to what Jim takes on a daily basis. But, you know, thinking of a venue for the conference of all the callers, there's a beautiful little spot off the New York coast. It's called Rikers Island. I think that'd be a great place.
Is it, Nick, isn't that a prison?
So, I've never been there, Paul, so I can't speak firsthand, but it sounds like it could be something that might be right up the alley of this group of
For those who swim in prison language, I think Rikers Island is New York's answer to Alcatraz.
Hey, Paul, I wanted to ask you about a couple interviews from SEC Media Days that you had with coaches that I found particularly good, and I wanted to commend you. Maybe it was your vacation that you had, but you were really on your A game, and I'm not just saying that, and you were the cream of the crop when it comes to, you know, you and your coworkers. And I wanted to say that, but one of the most, and this is the one time I talk, you know, every 6 months about something other than Alabama, but, that Eli Drinkwitz interview to me was fascinating.
It was.
So that all shucks hayseed. First, I wanted to ask you, is that authentic?
I think everything about Eli is authentic. Yes.
If you remember this, when he said that the Democrats had the White House, the Senate, and Congress and couldn't get anything done, were the wheels spinning in your head? Like, I can't believe he's saying this.
And I wanted to say to the coach, I said, Coach, I'm going to mark those words. Give me a call back on November 8th.
Do you think the PR team was like, you know, in code red mode after that?
Well, we had two coaches. I mean, he said that, and there's another coach who made a blatant political comment. I believe it was the next day, and I'll let all of you try to remember what you heard there. And by the way, I don't care what any of these guys say. I'm glad they come on the show, and they can talk about whatever they choose to talk about.
Well, the honesty was remarkable.
It truly was. I have gotten to... I really like him a lot. I thought the conversation about country music was fascinating, too.
So my other was with Lane Kiffin.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I like Lane. Now, Lane, to me, and now tell me if I'm way off base here, but I feel like that interview, he felt he was tired. He lacked energy. He seems, is Ole Miss just too small for him?
Let me say this about the interview. I had some people texting me and saying, he seemed rather uneasy with you. Little known secret, and I didn't
it
say
was
this.
Bizarre.
Let me explain. I had been with him an hour earlier. I was in his suite for a period of time that was seen by a number of reporters, because when I left, they were waiting outside. So I'm not violating any confidence here. So we had already talked about
that.
We had already talked about 30 minutes. I wish everybody could have heard that conversation. I think he's just, I don't think that's necessarily accurate what you said. I just think he gets on television and he starts thinking, what can I say that's going to get me in hot water? So he pulls up a little bit.
It was really uncomfortable. Like, the cold sweat's uncomfortable with the Lindy's book and whatnot. I was sitting there going, oh, my God, what is going on here?
I don't know. I mean, because We are much we have much better conversations off the air than we do on the air, which does the audience no good at all. Heading to a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. Final 30 minutes of what has been a pretty entertaining show. Let's check in with Ryan in Cincinnati. Hello, Ryan.
Grim Reaper. How you doing, bud?
I'm grimming. I'm reaping. I'm looking for more grim.
Well, that's what, you know, your alma mater got hit pretty hard, it seems like here.
Hey, Ryan, that's fake news. Nobody believes that.
Well, you know, I'm not too shocked if it's true because, you know, Jeremy Pruitt learned from the best, Rush Prost, your old buddy.
Now you're talking about a couple of friends of mine here. You're really hitting close to the core. These are exemplary people.
Rush was good for your show. I always liked him, and I
Rush
hope his
was,
better.
Rush, I mean, one guy, he had an MTV series. Doesn't he have a Netflix series as well? ESPN did a 30 for 30 on him. This guy has done pretty well, at least from a television standpoint.
Oh, he's entertaining. He gave you one of your great moments, didn't he?
And then remember about a year ago, he got caught on tape accusing Saban and Kirby Smart of buying players. And then the next day he said, that never happened.
Yeah, he accused Chubbs. He said Chubbs was the one that took the money.
and by the way, I mean, how would a high school coach at two of the best high schools in America know what goes on in recruiting? I mean, tell me I'm wrong about that.
Oh, man, he's never a dull moment, Paul. I mean, we miss him, don't we? I hope his
I heard Rush has a podcast now. I'm dying to find out where to get it.
Yeah, I'd like to hear his thoughts on Pruitt, his old protege. Rush taught him pretty well, didn't he?
Yeah, you're jumping to conclusions there, Ryan. I'm very disappointed in you.
I'm sorry, Paul. It's just, you know, it's unfortunate what's happened. You know, I feel bad for you as a Tennessee fan.
But you know what impressed me the most, Ryan? Again, all these are allegations, unproven, of course, even though the university had pretty much admitted to them all. It's one thing to allegedly pay for players and do all these things, but to get your own wife to do it?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, takes some chutzpah.
Yeah. Some Mike Price could do, I could see.
During Mike Price's very short tenure at Alabama, I never laid eyes on his wife.
Well, I'm sure his credit card would have liked to have been at a better spot.
Yeah, the bad news is if you're going to go on a romp on a golf weekend, don't leave your credit card in the room.
I can't wait till you celebrate the anniversary of that.
Oh,
we
will be at Arity's Angels next May, and we're
is
going.
Bram's going to be owning it by then.
What's that?
Is Bram's going to be owning that place by then?
Daniel Bramwood, who is the producer of the show with Jamari, he's got a condo in that strip joint right now. I think he's got the back room. Is that true, Danny?
Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
He says he only goes down there on weekends. I mean, for those who know Danny through Twitter and through this, remember when they used to let him be seen on this show. He's out there. I mean, he's not your normal, button down guy like me. I mean, he knows how to live.
He's a good time, isn't he?
He's a good time, Charlie.
Well, Paul, you take care. It's good to hear from you. I hope things work out for you, T. For you.
I do too. They just asked for more money. I wonder what that's for. Legal fees?
Yeah, lawyers. Maybe they can pull in North Carolina and get $25 million and pay for lawyers and get away with everything.
I tell you what, North Carolina got a bargain for $25 million. They won a national championship in the midst of all that. Hey, thanks for the call. Almost won another one. Let's check out Gary in Tennessee. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You may have already answered this question, but we had the number one recruit here in the local high school, Powell, that went to Texas A&M, number one recruit. And I'm suspecting that that young man is probably a pretty wealthy individual by now. Is there no requirement for public information required by what happens on the NIL?
Well, getting information from universities is tricky, especially when they're not directly involved. And NIL is a gray area, so I would say the odds of finding out are not very good. Although the Tennessee people right now are pretty boastful about how great their collective is, so they may tell you themselves, or at least somebody in that group.
Well, it'd be very, very interesting. I've tried to find out, and I've had no success. But my guess is that the Alabama coach was right on in his assessment of that situation.
Gary, thanks for the call. I think everything that Saban said is true in one perspective. It just depends on what side of it you're on. And I think it's one of those classic arguments. We're going to take a quick break. There's still time for you to get in here at 855-242-7285. A few more minutes to go on a Monday afternoon.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.